in the Holy Ghost. 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to look at this chapter. I'm going to read a couple of verses before you're seated. In 1 Samuel 17 and 1, it says, "Now the Philistines," that's the enemy of God's people, "gathered together their armies to battle. And they were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched or set up between Shoco and Azekah in Ephesdamon. And Saul and the men of Israel," Saul is the king of Israel, "and the men of Israel," the army, "were gathered together, and they pitched or set up by the valley of Elah, and they set the battle in array against the Philistines." They set it all up and said, "Okay, we've done this before. We know what we're doing. We're going to get our battle set up so we can go after that enemy, the Philistine." That's what they said they're going to do. "And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them." God, help us today that your will will be accomplished. Help us today that we can hear from you. Open our ears, open our mind, open our hearts, open our understanding to receive what you have for us today. Lord, hide me behind the cross, I pray. Use these humble lips of prayer however you can. And I pray that you will be honored and glorified and magnified today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. So we see here that Israel is getting ready to do some battle. Israel has an enemy. This enemy is not a stranger to them, or should I say unknown to them, but rather Israel is used to having to deal with this enemy. This is not the first time that Israel has had to face this enemy. And as they begin to set up and as they begin to put their battle or their army set up and everything they do to get it all ready to go, they really, I just believe they had a lot of confidence. For you see, God had done so much for them in annihilating the enemy before and pushing the enemy back before and captivating the enemy's control and turning it around to where the Israelites win the battle. And that had happened many times before throughout their the history of their nation. They had seen many victories. But this time it was a little bit different, and Israel was getting ready to realize that something new was about to happen. Can I say that sometimes we can get really used to the devil? We can get so used to the devil that we can even walk out and say, "Well, you know what? I'll just leave some of my weapons at home because I know I got this. I know I got victory over this already. I don't even have to really, you know, I don't have to spend yesterday, and I'm feeling pretty good, and I know the devil's going to throw things against me, and I know he's going to fight me, but I got this. I've done it before, and I'm feeling pretty good about where I'm at." And so that's where I can picture Israel being. But in verse 4, we find out that when they got all set up, the nation or the armies of Israel against the army of the Philistines, army against army, we see that there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines. His name was Goliath. He was from Gath. He was a very tall man. And if you don't think about 9 foot tall as very tall, well, I don't want to go up against a 9 foot man in a dark alley unless he's my friend. How about you? Well, here comes this big giant of a man out, and he was their champion. He was the one that was their prized because he was so big that nobody had ever taken him down. And so he came out. And he had all kinds of stuff on him, lots of armor and big stuff and heavy stuff. And he stood in verse 8, and he cried unto the armies of Israel. I want to point out something real quick there. The armies, plural. He cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, "Why are you come out to put your battle up like this? Am I not a Philistine? And you are servants of Saul? Pick out a man. Go through your army and pick out one man and let him come down to me." Now, first of all, Can I say that Goliath did not acknowledge that Israel served the one true God? He never mentioned anything about you servants of God. He never said anything about you servants of Saul, who is a servant of God. The enemy just simply looked and said, you servants of Saul. And can I say that the devil is always trying to distract us from who we really serve? Oh, we might serve in authority systems, if you will, including in society. You know, we have authorities over us. If the policeman or woman, if the officer begins to flash his lights because you ran the red light, you really should pull over because they are in authority. And if you don't, it might go bad. That's just, we have authority in our life. Like it or not, we have authority. I guarantee you that some of these precious kids that are in Sunday school and on the back row here, I guarantee you that there are times that they don't like the authority in their life. They don't like it. Now, you and I look at Brother Timothy, he's just right there. We look at him and we say, well, he's a pretty big guy, and these little kids are really, really little. And so they probably ought to just look at him and say, oh, yes, I will obey you and be in authority. You're my authority. But it's just within us. And so the devil is always trying to distract us people of God, from who we really serve. And he tries to get our attention on the cares and the chains of this world. Now I'm going to say that we are servants. We allow ourselves to be servants. I'm just going to touch on this. Through financial bondage, we get deep into all kinds of debt and all kinds of payments. It's just the way we are. It's how society is. And pretty soon, we can get to where we're donating more time and energy to serve our pursuit of money. Do you know what you're talking about? I sure do. I wish I didn't. Through the years. We just had this conversation this week. I was talking to my family, and I look at through the years, the time that I was pursuing financial independence. That's really what I was pursuing. You know, if you ask me how come I was, you know, working, at the time I was in sales, and I worked a lot of sales, and then I found that now if you've got a job and you're supposed to be at work, I hope you go to work, because if you don't go to work, they're not going to pay you. It's just the way it is. In fact, the Bible even says if a man's not willing to work, he's not really deserving to eat. That's what the Bible says. Thank God we have a society that's kind enough to make up the difference. But the Bible is talking about able-bodied men. Had a conversation recently with Roy. We were back there and we were talking about when Roy grew up and how hard he worked. And I thought about that and I thought, wow, you know, some of the things he's done, and it puts me to shame. I haven't had to work as hard as he has sometimes. But all in all, whatever our job is, we ought to be working and we ought to give it a good job. And if we've got to earn money to provide for our family and it takes all that time, that's what we do. But I'm not talking about when we have to work. I'm talking about when we don't have to work. And I'm just getting on a rabbit trail here, but I'm talking about me. Through the years, I saw the times when instead of stopping work and spending time with my family, I ended up working longer because I was trying to just get in the pipeline, so to speak. Because I was, and if you ask me, how come you're working so many hours and missing out on this? It was because I was trying to pursue financial independence. Well, the funny thing is while I was trying to pursue financial independence, I was actually finding myself getting into financial bondage. Isn't that funny how that is? But we're just, I'm just talking about servants here. The servants of Israel, Israel was servants to Saul. And Israel was servants to Saul because he had become their king. And the reason that Saul had become their king, which meant that now when Goliath is acknowledging you servants of Saul, it was because before Saul, he was the very first king of Israel, before Saul,
they were servants of the one true God. That's who they were servants of. But they came to Samuel, the prophet. They said, Samuel, we want a king. We want a king. They were paying too much attention to what the nations around them. They said, you know what? In essence, if I could put it this way, we want a king. And Samuel said, no, you don't. You serve God as your king. You don't need an earthly king here. And they said, no. We want to surrender our freedoms to an earthly ruler just like everybody else does. We're tired of hearing you, Samuel, the middleman, tell us what God wants us to do. In fact, we want something or someone that we can show off to everyone, all the other nations around us. We want to show off our king and how great our king is. Because you see, Samuel, whenever the nations of Israel come, or the nations around us come against Israel, and we go out to battle, we don't have a king. They've all got kings, leaders that they can put a crown on his head, and he represents their success. And that's what we want, because we're tired of just being out there and just being a bunch of people. Yes, God comes in and takes care of it. Yes, God comes in and fights a battle. But we want a symbol. We want a king that represents our power and our success, something we can see. So Samuel went to God. He was upset about it. And God said, hey, Samuel, go ahead and give them their king. He said, and Samuel told the people, do you realize that this king is going to basically take some of your freedoms away? And they said, we want a king. And God said, give him a king. And said, Samuel, don't get upset about it. Don't lose too much sleep over it. Because they're not rejecting you, Samuel, as the messenger. They are rejecting me as their God. So go ahead and give him the king. So here we have the first king of Israel. Saul is out here. The giant shows up, and he says, send me a man that'll come down to me. If he, in verse 9, is able to fight with me and to kill me, one man against one man here, if he fights me and he kills me, then all us Philistines will be your servants. But if I win against him and kill him, the man that you chose, then all of you will be our servants and serve us. Boy, I'll tell you, that's kind of funny, you know. I'm telling you, when you if you're walking through a bad area of town, you're out of town, you don't know where you're at, and you run out of fuel, and you're in an area that you don't belong there. You know, it's just not where you belong because you know. Can I say that it doesn't matter the color of your skin, it doesn't matter your heritage, it can be any race, and there are areas that when you walk in, they're tough hombres walking around looking for trouble. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And when you go in an area that you don't belong in, and all of a sudden now you realize that, hey, these guys are looking for something to steal, and I've got a car, and I've got, you know, all my stuff in the car, it's not a very good place to be. And if you take off walking to the gas station all by yourself through this area, you're going to be trembling like a leaf. But isn't it funny how, you know, if you've got, you know, 10 of your big buddies with you, and you're all walking and going to the gas station to get that can of gas, you're not as afraid when you're not alone. And that's how it was for Israel. Israel is against the Philistines, and they're getting ready. They said, hey, we're going to clean house here. All of a sudden, this big man comes out and says, hey, send me a man one-on-one. And all of a sudden, I can only imagine, you know, everybody going, whoa, did you hear what he said? Wow, did you hear what he said? Boy, you know, somebody needs to go fight him. And Joe looks at Johnny and says, hey, Johnny, I think you could do it. Johnny goes, oh, no, not me. Not me, Joe. No. Hey, let's go talk to Sam. Hey, Sam, listen, you are an amazing warrior. We think you are the man for the job. Sam goes, no way. I'm not about to walk out there by myself. One, what's funny is Saul, that king that they wanted, the one that they were so proud of. Oh, we want a king like the other nations, one that represents strength and power that we can be proud of and whatnot. The Bible says, when Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistines, the Philistine giant, they were dismayed, Saul included, and greatly afraid. Now, I want to go back to verse 10, and I want to read something that the Philistine said that is very key here. He said, I defy the armies, plural, of Israel. Now, there's one big army in front of him. They didn't have nine armies scattered in the region that he saw. There was one army in front of him. But the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. Now, he was correct in saying armies, plural. He was actually correct in that. But he wasn't correct in acknowledging that the armies were of God. Can I say that God doesn't just have a small little army that you can see, but there are armies in the kingdom of God that are fighting battles all over the world. We are not just a little piece of a little something, but we are a big part of a big something. And the Bible says, verse 16, Philistine drew near morning and evening, presented himself 40 days. So for 40 days, he's going out every morning and giving this big challenge here, and nobody's taking him up onto it. So anyways, back at home, back in Bethlehem, Jesse, the house of Jesse, he had three of his boys at this camp fighting in the battle. And Jesse said to his very youngest son, David, he said, I want you to take some food, and I want you to run to the camp where your brethren are in the battle. And I want you to take these 10 cheeses to the captain of their 1,000, and I want you to look how your brethren fare, or I want to see if your brothers are well. I just want to see, are they doing okay? So, David, you're the youngest. You're home. You're tending sheep. You're not old enough to go to the battle, so you get to be the one carrying the lunch. And I want you to take their pledge. Interesting that he says that. He says, I want you to go see if they're well, and then I want you to bring back a token from them. In other words, I want some news. I want to see how it's going. I want something to see are doing well and how they're having success and what God's doing for them. Verse 20, and David rose up early in the morning, and he left the sheep with a keeper. He took and went as dad had commanded him, and he came to the trench where the host was going forth to the fight, and he shouted for the battle. Verse 22, and David left his carriage, his wagon, in the hand of the keeper of the wagon, and he ran into the army of Israel, and he came and found his brother, and he stopped and he saluted him or greeted him. And while he talked with his brethren, saying, hey, dad sent me down here with some lunch for you guys, and he wants to know if y'all are doing good. How you doing? And as he was talking, this Goliath came out of the armies of the Philistines and spake according to the same words that he had been doing for 40 days, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him, and they were very afraid. Now, passed through that so many times, but do you realize that on the 40th day they were just as afraid and they were still running away? Even on the 40th day, they had not gotten used to the roar of the giant yet. They hadn't got used to how he's always trying to come against them for 40 days, and so they were very afraid. Been doing the same thing for 40 days. Right? Every time the enemy threatens, they run away again. Can I tell you, the devil loves to roar and try to chase you out of living for God? And you say, well, he didn't win. Well, he's going to do it again. And he's going to do it again. And he's going to do it again. And if we are not walking in victory, there's coming a day that we've got to say, enough is enough. I'm not going to bow. The biggest tricks that the devil tries to do is to remind you of your past. He loves to remind us of our past. And I'm telling you, I've said it before, whenever he comes back and reminds you of your past, you need to first of all remind him of the blood of Jesus Christ and how your past has been expunged
from your record. And I know not everybody likes that. I get it. You know, we can't handle anybody getting away with anything. Well, I'm just going to tell you that God, that you get away with everything you've ever done, just like he let so-and-so get away with everything. But I haven't done the things they've done. Well, it doesn't matter. You're capable of doing just about anything. And I will tell you, we look through the Bible and we see where God forgave murder. God forgave adultery. God forgave so many things of persecution when somebody turned their heart to him. But I'm telling you, one of the things that he spoke out against in the Bible more than almost any of these other things I've mentioned by far is pride. God hates pride. And yet it's so funny how there's some people that say, well, I don't think they ought to be forgiven of that over there. Look what they've done. They did this and that. Well, my goodness, your pride is getting really stinky. And God hates pride. You might be a bigger offender to God with your pride than they are with their actions that they've done. We just got to be careful. How many know we got to be careful not to think that my brother deserves everything and I ought to go just free? No. And so basically, David says, what's going on here? This guy's going out and defying the armies of the living God, and what's up with this? Well, when the words were heard that David spake, they went and told Saul the king, hey, there's this guy in the camp that showed up, and he's going around saying, who does this guy think he is out there on the other side defying the armies of the living God? Who does he think he is? And Saul heard it and said, I want to see this guy. Bring him before me. So David went to see Saul. And David said to Saul, listen, Saul, don't let any man's heart fail because of that guy out there. Your servant, me, I'll go and fight with this Philistine. Now, remember all the big guys and all the tall guys and all the men of war who were excited and had a lot of notches cut on the stick of how many victories they'd had. All these great men of war were shaking in their boots and running away. And here's this guy that's not even qualified to join the army. He was too young, had to stay at home. Here's this guy that's saying, I'll go fight him. And Saul said, you can't go fight this guy. You're just a youth. This guy is a man of war from his youth. And David didn't go, oh, yeah, hadn't thought about that. Oh, yeah. Wow, I better pay more attention to his roaring. I better think twice. He could snap me in half like a twig. No, that's not what David said. Because David wasn't looking to accomplish anything from his own strength. Isn't that something? Instead, here's what David told Saul. He said, Saul, I'm going to tell you a story. I was keeping my father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him, and I delivered it out of his mouth. Let me just tell you, you know, I've seen a little bit of wildlife up in there, Tatchpee, and you probably have too. And at times, one time we lived way up at the top, way back of the mountains over here. We lived up pretty high and way up there, and there were bobcats that came through, mountain lions, and of course all the huge elk, and I can tell you stories about that. No time today, but I'm telling you, I remember one time when we were living a little bit lower. I remember that we heard noises in the night and came out the next day, and bears had come through and decided that our trash cans. I think they were looking for recycling, but anyways, the bears came through trash cans and messed with our trash cans, and so I don't want to tangle with the bear. I just don't. So if there's a bear that's going to come and I'm trying to tend my daddy's sheep, they're not even my sheep. And here comes a bear coming to grab the lamb out and take it off, and it's got it in its mouth. Who in their right mind would chase after the bear, grab him, and get the lamb back out of the bear's mouth? What kind of a person? You'd have to be insane to do that. Not David. Not David, because David realized that it wasn't him. We can win all kinds of victories against the devil when we realize it's not us. But where we get into trouble and we don't win the victory is whenever we're doing it in us. But when we can realize, like David says, that it ain't me, it's my God. He said, I went out and I delivered it out of his mouth. And when the bear came up against me, I caught him by his beard and I smote him and slew him. I slew both the lion and the bear. And this guy, this uncircumcised Philistine, shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies. And I want to point out something here. For the first time, we read accurately that it's armies. God's got armies. He said, this Philistine said that he's defying the armies of Israel, but he's really defying the armies of the living God. David was not influenced when the giant said that Israel, who Israel was. He understood that they were part of the armies of God. And David said, you know what? I'm going to tell you more, Saul. O king, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, okay, wow, well, then go, and the Lord, if we stop right there, I just don't know. I wasn't there, and I can't judge too much. But if there's a young man that comes up, and I'm supposed to be the king, I'm supposed to be the symbol of success in the camp of Israel, and everybody's afraid, and they're looking at me, and because I'm trembling and afraid, there's nobody else that's willing to go either. The Bible says that Saul stood head and shoulders above all of Israel. He was a tall fella himself. But he was afraid, so the people were afraid. And then here comes this youth in that doesn't even, he's never fought battles like this, and he says, hey, Saul, or king, I'm gonna go fight him. Well, I don't know how it is with you, but I'd have a hard time saying, okay, go fight my battle for me. No! You know what I think? I think I would be inspired and say, wow, shame on me. Here's a guy that's not even experienced in the battle. He's kind of a nobody, and nobody even knows who he is, and yet he's saying he'll go out and fight. No way. I'll tell you what, young man, you've inspired me. Young man, you have stirred me to realize that I need to be a better leader. God is with us. It's not all about me and my arm. It's about God. So you've inspired me. Here, get out of my way. I'm going to go out there. If I do it, no, it's not what Saul did. It's not what Saul did. Not what Saul did. In fact, he said, okay, go ahead and go. And so David said, let's go. And he took his staff in his hand, a shepherd's staff, and he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook. Now, interesting, he put those in a shepherd's bag, which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he went out to fight the Philistines. You say, what kind of a farmer is that? Well, see, the problem is that when Saul said, you go, he said, here, wear my armor. Wear my armor, and it'll protect you. The problem is, David put the armor on, and it didn't fit. He didn't know how to wear it. And he took it back off. He said, here, you hang on to your armor over there. He said, I'm going to use what has worked before for me. And too often, we want to slide into heaven on mama's prayers or daddy's preaching. I'm telling you that if we're going to make it against the enemy and we're going to have victories over the enemy, we're going to have to get what works for us. And ironically, what works for us is essentially the same armor or weaponry that works for mama and daddy. But we cannot depend on us. We can't depend on their lifestyle and their believing. We can't depend on, well, because they were good, I'm going to make it. No. You know what we got to do? We got to make sure that we figure out what wins battles and grab what wins battles and go to battle armed with what wins battles for us. Can I tell you that prayer still works? Can I tell you that fasting still works? Can I tell you that getting the Bible down inside your heart still works?
So David goes out and he draws near the Philistine. Now the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. He wasn't afraid of him. And the man that had the shield went before the Philistine. And when the Philistine looked about, he's looking for the for what's going on here. Who's this guy? This is probably just somebody that's going to bear the shield of the man that's coming, just like I have my guy bearing my shield.
Fighting. I see the youth here, but where's the guy I'm fighting? He's looking about, and he doesn't see anybody else. And he realizes, this is the guy that's going to fight me? Are you kidding me? And he disdained him, for he was but a youth, ruddy, and a fair countenance. And the Philistine said it to David. He said, oh, now I'm insulted. Now I'm insulted. Am I a dog that you're going to come out to me with your little sticks, your staves? You got your little staff. You're going to come out to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his own gods, the Philistine's gods. And the Philistine said to David, come here. I'm going to give your flesh into the fowls of the air, into the beasts of the field. Now, David didn't start trembling. You know what David said? He said, you come to me with a sword, you come to me with a spear, you've got a shield, but I didn't come in any of that stuff. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. You talked about the armies of Israel? Well, I'm coming to you in the name of the God of the armies of Israel. For the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Oh my. David wasn't putting his faith in the king that Israel chose, but in the king that Israel rejected. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose, and he came and started drawing nigh to meet David, that David said, okay, it's time for war. No chance of sitting around. He got up and he started running toward the Philistine, and he put his hand in his bag. He took out a stone, and he took that stone and he slung it with his sling. And the rock went and smote the Philistine in the forehead, so that the stone sunk into the forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. Now, if you study out the armor, they were very careful to put together armor that would protect all the vital parts of their body. They had a helmet. They got to protect that brain up there and that mental capacity. And they have a whole brass all around here. They put all of this stuff on and on their legs, and they've got a big heavy spear and a sword to defend. They've got all this stuff so that the enemy's weapon cannot get through an attack. But you see, there was one place that was uncovered. There was one place that was uncovered, and it was the forehead. And God knows where to send the artillery to whenever we fight the devil. This is why when we try to fight the devil on our own, I'm going to get control of the devil. No, he's going to arm us or you down. But whenever we pray and when we seek God with all of our heart, God knows what to do. God knows how to fight the battle. God knows how to get to the enemy. He knows the weaknesses of the enemy. And so it knocked this Philistine down. And the Bible says that there was no sword in the hand of David. So David said, you know what? My daddy told me to bring back a token. He said to go bring back a token, and so I gotta come up with something here that shows the success, and I came out here to look for a token of how well my brothers were doing and a token of the success of the battle, and there wasn't any tokens of success. So I guess I'm gonna have to come up with a token. I think I'll go cut the giant's head off. But the problem is he didn't have a sword in his hand. So he went out there and he said, I'm going to use his own sword. He stood up on top of the Philistine. He took that Philistine sword. He drew it out and he slew him and cut off the head of the Philistine. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. Can I tell us that we need to stop dabbling, if you will, in our little fights with the devil sometimes? I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching to all of us. Sometimes we get to dabbling. We just say, Well, you know what? I'm spending, you know, too much time. Well, I can say a lot of things. Let me change something here. Well, I don't want to click on the things in my cell phone that I shouldn't, and I know they're not right. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to just take and I'm going to hide that app in my phone so that I don't see it and I'm not tempted. That's dabbling with the enemy. You know what? I want to get away from all the social media that's taken me down. So I'm just going to kind of turn off my notifications and I'll just check them once a day. Now, I'm not preaching against social media. Understand, I'm not preaching against it. I will tell you, I don't have it because it's too dangerous. But I'm not preaching against social media. But if you've got a problem because there's social media that's getting to you and maybe you're connecting with some people that you have no business connecting with because it's an improper relationship, and you say, "Oh, you know what? I got to stop this. So let me just kind of, you know, I'm just gonna stop social media." Why don't we, instead of just deleting it, if that app is gonna take you to hell, don't just delete the app. Delete the whole account. Do whatever you have to do. Have somebody have them change the password to a password that you don't know. Ooh, boy. Whoa, that's rough. What am I talking about? I'm saying, hey, there's times that we knock the giant down, but we haven't cut his head off. And the giant's going to get back up and whoop up on us if we don't cut his head off. And David said, there's some things that need to be dealt with right now. I'm going to cut his head off. And he got in there and he cut the giant's head off. And whenever all of Israel saw that the champion was dead, they rose up and took off after the Philistines. And there was a great slaughter that day. I'm almost done here. Verse 54. David took that token, that head of the Philistine, and he starts running to Jerusalem, carrying the head of the Philistine. Can I tell you that all the way from the army battlefield all the way to Jerusalem, there's a testimony going on. Look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. Nobody has to be afraid of this giant anymore because I cut his head off. I didn't just knock him down. I cut his head off. Can I tell you that your testimony of complete deliverance is more powerful than any 12-step program out there? And I'm not preaching against programs either, but there are things that we have that are powerful. We've just got to make sure that we exercise it. And so he comes running to Jerusalem. And when Saul saw David go out against the Philistines, he asked Abner, captain of the host, "Abner, whose son is this?" Abner said, "I don't know who it is." So the king said, "Ask who the little boy is. Get him to find it." And when David came back from slaughtering the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. As I close, as we stand, can I say that you and I today have got more power, more weaponry at our fingertips than the devil's got power? We have more power at our fingertips than the devil has power. What is the difference? It's going to take some prayer. It's going to take some pushing the plate away. It's going to take some reading the Bible and memorizing it, getting it down in my heart. Because you see, when Jesus was tempted of the devil after he had fasted for 40 days and was really hungry, Jesus spent time in prayer. He fasted this before he ever started his ministry. And he knew the word. And when the devil started coming against him and trying to tempt him, Jesus spouted off Bible verses. He said, "Satan, it is written." Oh, can I tell you that there's more power at our fingertips? We live in a generation where the Bible's available. We live in an area in the free United States that we can go down to the dollar store and buy a Bible. I see them at the dollar store of all places. There's no excuse for us not to be able to take advantage of the Bible, to open it up and read it and to memorize it and get it down in our heart so that when the devil comes out and starts saying, "Who do you think you are? You don't stand a chance to make it all the way." And we can say, "Devil, I read in my Bible that it says greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I read in my Bible that they are overcomers by the blood of the Lord and the word of my testimony. And so, devil, you don't have a chance. I read in my Bible that our God is one Lord. Our God is the Lord. Israel even understood it to the point the one time they said, the God, our God is the God. Our God is the God. Can I say that you and I know enough to be able to defeat the devil, but we got to make sure that we're not just dabbling around trying to listen to the roar. When the giant roars, we've got to stand up and take action. I believe today that God wants to encourage somebody. I believe God wants to tell somebody today that the devil's been roaring in your ear. Devil's been telling you that you don't know if you can make it. You don't know if this is worth it all. Can I tell you that the giant roared against Israel? And if David had not stood up and done the right thing, all Israel would have been servants of the Philistines. But David knew where his strength came from, and he said, I'm not going to go into battle with all these other tools around me, but I'm going to go into battle with what I know works. Can I encourage somebody today, as heads are bowed and eyes are closed, can I encourage somebody today to figure out what has worked before and get back to that? Can I encourage somebody today that if you have not been winning battles like you want to win battles, go back and look at what was happening when you were winning battles. And most of the time, we will find that we have changed our armor. Today, God wants to take us back to where we used to be. He wants to deliver us.
I will trust in the Lord
is where our strength is.
I will trust in the Lord till I die.
I will trust in the Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die.
As they sing, I wonder if there's somebody today to make a recommitment to God. I say this altar area is open if you want to come up and pray. You can pray at your seat wherever you want. But if you want to come up and pray, if you want me to pray with you, I'll be happy to pray with you. But let's get back to God. Let's get back to where we need to be. Let's get a hold of His unchanging hand again. God hasn't moved. If anybody's moved, it's us, not God. God hasn't changed. If anybody's changed, it's us. Oh, God, help me to get a hold of your unchanging hand. And no matter which way the wind blows, I'm not letting go. No matter which way the storm goes, I'm not going to let go. No matter how loud the giant roars, I'm not going to let go of your unchanging hand. Oh, would you just seek Him right now? Would you reach for Him right now?
The Lord till I die.
I'm going to trust in you, Lord.
I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the Lord till I die.
I'm gonna stay on the battlefield.
I'm gonna stay on the battlefield.
If you don't have the gift of the Holy Ghost today, if you don't have that Holy Spirit living within you, if you've not been baptized in Jesus' name, if you've not even repented of all your sins, today can be the first day of a brand new life for you. If you need to repent, if you need to ask God to tell Him you're sorry and that you're turning from your old ways, now's a good time to do it. If you need to be baptized, we've got a pool. We can come up with the water. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, God can fill you today with the Holy Ghost. Or would you seek Him right now? Would you seek Him? Would you seek Him right now?
Till I die. I'm gonna keep on living right. I'm gonna keep on living right. I'm gonna keep on living right till I die. Till I die.
us, God.